Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Something you'd like to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Resurrection, it's the heart and soul of the gospel message. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have absolutely nothing. When I think of the word resurrection, three other words come to mind: hope, assurance, and power. Those three words: hope, assurance, and power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ infuses hope into all of our lives. Even Hugh Hefner, when he was, I think, interviewed by Lee Strobel, they were talking about resurrection, and he said, man, if it's true, then I have hope. I have hope for life after death. That's what resurrection brings to us, hope for life after death. It also brings assurance to us. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead proves that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. And as a result of that, we can have assurance of salvation. God has said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's given us a testimony, and this testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So if Jesus had not been raised, we couldn't have life. Why? Because life is in the Son. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So the fact that he was raised and that he can give himself to us by grace through faith, then we can know that we have everlasting life. The other thing, it shows that he conquered sin and death. You know, what caused Adam to die? Well, sin. Sin caused Adam to die. Well, what about our sins? Do they carry the same penalty? You're darn tootin', they carry the exact same penalty. The wages of sin is death. Well, who took those sins for us? Who took the punishment? Well, Jesus Christ did. He who knew no sin became sin. Well, whose sins? Ours. Yeah. Ours were transferred from us to him, and he took the punishment, and he died once. So we have to ask the question, is he ever going to die again? Is Jesus going to come back and die again on your behalf? And then when you sin again, is he going to come back and die again on your behalf? Absolutely not. He died once for all sins. So his death on the cross took away our sins once and for all. And as a result of that, there's nothing that stands between us and God. So the Holy Spirit is never going to leave us. God is never going to leave us. Why? Because he's dealt with the sin issue.
Right.
He dealt with it once and for all. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are outside of Christ, they're still under the condemnation of the law. But those of us who are in Christ, that condemnation has been removed. And here's the reason. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, that comes through resurrection, set me free from the law of sin and death. I was bound to that law of sin and death, and the resurrected life of Jesus Christ set me free. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. The law said this: the soul that sins will surely die. Okay? We sinned. We're the ones that committed the crimes, so to speak. We're the ones that were found guilty. We deserved death. Yeah. That's the just punishment for our sins. Jesus took death for us. That's the good news of the gospel. He took death for us. So when we are placed into Christ through baptism, and that's not a water baptism, that's a spiritual
right.
baptism. We were baptized into his death. We were placed into his death. That means the law's been fully met in us.
Yeah.
The punishment that we deserved has been carried out, and it was carried out in Jesus. And so we can be set free from the law of sin and death, raised to walk in the newness of life. That's why this resurrection is so vitally important. So we have hope, we have assurance, and the third thing is power.
Yeah.
In the resurrection, we have power. In Colossians 2, it says we've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Peter the apostle put it this way, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything that you need to be all that God has called you to be and to do all that God has called you to do is available to you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what does the resurrection mean to us individually? It means hope. It means assurance. It means power. That's good news.
That's good news. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Don't let this opportunity to call and pose your question or join the conversation pass you by. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Bob Christopher and I are here, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Martinsville, Indiana, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Hello. I was on the other day. I was listening on WBRI. Anyway, I was thinking about that scripture in Hebrew. It says, obey them that have rule over you. I've been in churches where some pastors think they're just, I mean, even stick their fingers into your house and all your business and everything. What does that scripture actually mean? Obey them that have rule over you, for they look out for your souls. You know, it's in Hebrew 12, I think.
Well, I think the operative word there is that they look out for after our souls. And what is medicine for our souls? It's truth. So if a pastor is bringing truth to our souls, then we should pay attention to that. I think that's what it's saying there. If a pastor is just telling a bunch of lies, if a pastor is simply up there to pad his own pocket, he's presenting, for example, the prosperity gospel. He's saying that godliness is a means to financial gain. That's not somebody you submit to. Why? Because they're not delivering truth. Truth is what's important. Peter talked about that in his first letter. And he said some really powerful things, I think, about leadership and about those that serve as elders. He said to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you were willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the true elder, the one that genuinely shepherds God's flock, does so with a spirit of humility, knowing that it has to be the very words of God that he delivers to help those that he is serving. There's no other way to do
that. You can see how
that
can get out of hand, can't you?
Absolutely. We used to hear all the time, don't touch God's anointed.
I've heard that.
I'm that special guy, and I have a direct connection to God, and I stand between him and you. I'm the mediator. Well, again, the Bible just explodes that lie. Why? It says there's only one mediator that stands between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. sir.
Yeah, so anybody else that says, you know, I've got a direct connection, the only way that you can hear from God is to hear from me, is telling you a lie. And from that, you don't submit, you turn and run. You run as fast
really
as you possibly can.
I really believe when it says obey them that have rule over you, the rule, the word rule, is one that throws a lot of these guys off. It's about controlling you in your daily business, your life, and, you know, what your wife looks like and everything else. And it just then some people just go head over heels with that. And I always struck, I said, well, I want to obey what's being preached, the truth, you know, but I don't want to, my business is really none of his business, you know, my banking and everything. All kinds of things that it enters into it. But that was a good answer. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate that.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, William. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, and we want to hear from you. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Well, friends, this is Resurrection Month, of course, and we have a wonderful offer for you. For a gift of any amount, a CD series by Bob Christopher called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, can be yours. And all you need to do to request yours and make your gift to Basic Gospel, that gift of any amount, is simply go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828 for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. And, Bob, a question from our friend Kelly, who writes to us from Tampa. She has some really, really good questions, and this is an interesting one as well. How do you draw somebody out of the old covenant mindset when both parties are reading from the same biblical source and see the same truths, especially when neither party sees themselves as wrong with their belief system or their ritualism that they've been steeped in for a lifetime? This happens even when exposing the errors with evident truth. I understand the Spirit reveals truth and removes the veiling, but wouldn't the Lord want new covenant truths working in a believer's life sooner rather than later? As always, your insight is most appreciated. That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, the answer to that is yes, the Lord would certainly want us to embrace the new covenant promises and to live by those promises, to live by faith in the resurrected Christ sooner than later. But oftentimes that's just not the case. And it could be, you know, for a number of different reasons. I know I came to Christ as a 12-year-old boy. I knew I needed Jesus in my life. I prayed to receive him. But I wasn't really sure of the whys. I mean, as a 12-year-old, I wasn't scratching my head and contemplating those big questions of life of who am I, where am I going, why am I here. Those things just weren't a part of my consciousness back then, but I knew I needed Jesus. And so, at that point, I didn't get a lot of discipleship after I prayed to receive Christ. I didn't get a lot of teaching, as to what it means to be a Christian, what really happened to me. The fact that I had been made alive in Christ, the fact that Jesus had come to live inside of me through his Spirit, the fact that I had been given a brand new identity, I didn't learn any of that stuff after I came to Christ. So I just determined that to be a Christian meant that I was supposed to be good. I was supposed to do all the right things. And so I got caught up in a performance-based mindset, which is an old covenant mindset.
Right.
And it took 8 years before I came to a point and just gave up. I realized that sin was too much for me. And all of my efforts to overcome just weren't enough. Mm-hmm. And so I gave up. And it was in that giving up that I found what I was genuinely looking for, and that was power to experience this freedom that God had called me to, and that came through the resurrection. So that was an 8-year time period. And even after, you know, really coming to understand that Christianity is grace from start to finish, it still took time for that to really work its way through my mindset.
Right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is we're all natural-born legalists. We come into this world legalistic from the get-go.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have any teaching whatsoever, we would come up with our own religion.
Oh, absolutely.
Say, if you just found yourself on an island all alone, you knew nothing about anything, and you started making some observations, you would think, okay, there has to be a God. This is just too vast. I mean, the sky is too immense and big, and just all the life that I see on this little island is just amazing. It had to come from somewhere. So you would know that there was a God. Mm-hmm. And then immediately the sin living in you would tell you, you need to do something to appease him.
Yeah.
You need to do something to get on his good side. You need to do something. So you would come up with a religion. Might be the coconut tree religion. You might have to walk around it three times every morning and three times every night as your means of reaching God. Why? Because sin was in you.
Yeah.
And fear was in you as a result of that. You know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, the first thing they did was hide from God. Why did they hide from God? Because they were afraid. Well, that fear that entered their heart, they've passed on to every single human being. And we come into this world afraid of God. That's what makes us natural-born legalists.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time for that mindset to get corrected. It takes a process of God's grace working inside of us and inside of our hearts, filtering up into these minds of ours to renew our thinking. And it's never there's never a time in our lives when our minds are just 100% grace. That's going to happen when we get brand new bodies. But between now and that time, there's this process. Peter calls it growing in grace. We're going to continue to grow in grace. So how do we get to that point of really knowing that Christianity, the way of Christianity, is the way of grace? We have to let life humble us. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. If I think I can be God's guy through human effort, what does that say? It says I have a proudful heart.
Yeah.
Prideful heart.
Right.
Well, you start down that path and you realize you can't do it, and these failures and all the guilt that you experience and all of the shame that you experience start chipping away at that pride. And at a point in time, you come and you realize that you don't have what it takes. Humility takes you by the hand and opens up a whole new way for you. And that way is the way of grace.
Yes, indeed. Well, Kelly, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And for any of our listeners, Bob, who'd like to pose that question, you can do so by going online to basicgospel.net. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, again, that's basicgospel.net. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Indiana again and talk with Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm kind of struggling with, I want to obviously, you know, follow God and speak what God wants me to do and do it. I feel like that's where one foot is. And then one foot is kind of in the world where I focus on my job. I work very hard at my job. I try to, you know, make as much money as I can to support my family financially, support my wife and I, our future, my son's future. You know, I invest in 401ks, Roth IRAs. So I feel like those things are kind of mutually exclusive sometimes. And as I listen
well,
let me
ask you a question, Bruce. Why do you think those are mutually exclusive?
Well, because as I listen to preachers on the radio and so on, I get the idea, maybe incorrectly, I don't know, that when you submit to God, you are putting all of that stuff, all the things that I talked about, trying to strive to do as well as you can at your job and save money and save for college, that you're to let God take care of those things. And if you focus on trying to do those things yourself, you're really not submitting and you're not following God. God will provide that for you. God will lead you down avenues and give you ways to do those things. And I just, maybe I'm understanding it incorrectly. That could be. But I must admit, I'm having a hard time letting all of that go, you know what I mean, where I'm just saying, okay, Lord, you handle that, and I'm not going to plan for the future, and I'm not going to, you know, do my best to support my family, and I'm just going to follow you. And, you know, what happens, happens, and the chips will fall where they may.
Well, Bruce, so, there's a whole letter that was written in response to that type of attitude, the first and second letter of Thessalonians. Paul had that idea in mind because a lot of people in Thessaloniki were just saying, you know, God's going to take care of us. And so they quit working. They quit doing all of those things that they were doing before. And Paul wrote and said, you know, he who doesn't work doesn't eat. And the man who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So, Bruce, let me tell you this. This is what I think. This is what we've talked about at Basic Gospel. When you go to work, that is the most spiritual thing you do on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because God has put something in your heart to provide for your family. As a man, as a father, as a husband, there's something that's there inside of your heart that says, I want to provide for my family. And so you going to work is really a response to a spiritual impulse that God has placed inside of you. And I think it's important for you to go to work and for you to plan and to think about those things. Where those things become dangerous to us is if we worship those things, if we start defining ourselves by those things. And at that point, we're substituting our work, we're substituting our success for God. God's the one that defines us. He does so through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So every day when you go to work, you're a child of God going to work at such and such a company. And while you were there as a child of God, you were working as unto the Lord. It's not the company's standards or the company's job description that motivates you. It's the fact that you're a child of God and want to do the task that God has put before you to do to the best of your ability. And so if I'm in your shoes, and I am in your shoes, Bruce, I'm a husband and I'm a dad, and mm-hmm. and I see going to work every day as the most spiritual thing I do to get money in order to take care of them and serve them and love them for who they are.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that insight.
Well, you're welcome. So realize this, that there are no divisions in life. There's no spiritual and no secular. You're a child of God, so God's alive living in you every day of the week, 24/7. So your task is simply to abide in Him and wherever that is, whether it's at home, whether it's work, whether it's at play, whether it's assembled together with other believers. God has called you to walk by faith and to bring everything before Him and seek His wisdom. So, well, thanks for your
All
call,
right.
Bruce.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
To everybody who joined us for this edition. You know, Bob Christopher's CD series, The Resurrection Power for Daily Living, is available during Resurrection Month. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and to get yours and support the ministry at the same time, which is really a good idea, why click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, for The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Don't forget to look over the weekend at our website, stand2014.com, to get information on our upcoming conference. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. We want you to be a part of it if possible. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.